Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
3, 2, 1.
Live from Los Angeles,
it's the PHP.
The Perez Hilton
Podcast.
With my man,
Chris Booker.
It's Booker, baby.
And the one and only world famous Perez.
Perez Hilton.
It's the PHP.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the PHP and Booker. That's Perez. How are you?
I'll get to that in a second, but first, let's give our listeners a little rundown of everything we're going to talk about this week. We are going to get into Britney Spears. Again, it's still a big, hot topic. We're going to get into Justin Timberlake. We're going to talk The Bachelor. A lot of drama there. I don't know how plugged in you are to that story, but I'll fill you in if you're not. We're going to talk Claudia Conway and American Idol. We're going to talk Taylor Swift. We're going to get into Meghan Markle and Prince Harry and so much more. But that's just a little preview. I'm good. But before I get to the fun, I want to start off just talking about something serious, just sending positive energy and all of the light to Nicki Minaj. An absolute tragedy happened over the weekend. Her father was killed in a hit-and-run accident in Long Island. Not an accident. It was an accident, but then it was a crime when that person fled. So the authorities in Mineola, there in Long Island, are asking anybody for information who might have it. And just what a horrific,
that horrific sucks.
Way to go.
That just sucks.
But that puts things into perspective and, you know, even like little squabbles that I might have, which I'll talk about with my therapist. No need to get into. Just like little.
Come on. We like your squabbles.
Oh, you used to shit on me for talking about that.
When you get into beefs with somebody?
No, not squabbles. I was talking about like my personal life, like with my mom.
Oh, well, if it's a good story.
It's not. I mean, it is, but not really.
Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're really good stories.
Sometimes if somebody's depressed, I think they need to be lovingly guided or gently shoved into the light. And that's what I'm trying to do with my mom, trying to get her out of the house, because I went and I took the kids to something outdoors for Valentine's Day. Thought it'd be fun to take my mom, but she just doesn't want to go and she doesn't want to do anything. Even if it's like, mom, let's go to the beach. That's outdoors. She's like, nope. She's like in such a depression and funk, and like staying home just makes that worse. And like, it is what it is. I'll talk about it more with my therapist, because I made a video when people were criticizing me for it and yada, yada, yada.
You can't do anything anymore without being criticized.
It triggered me. I was like, fuck you. Like this one person said I was disgusting. It was a joke. Okay. I was like,
right.
I was trying to gently shove my mom to going with us. And it was a Valentine's Day. And I said, oh, kids, your grandmother doesn't love you. She doesn't want to go with us. It was not serious.
That's funny. Right. Yeah. It's not serious.
But so many butthurt or like overly sensitive people were like, how dare you? I would never. One said it was disgusting. Another woman said, I would never talk to you again if I was your mother. To the woman who said, I would never talk to you again, I said, well, you're a shit mom. And then to the other person who said it's disgusting, I said, you know what's disgusting? Your comment. Fuck you. And I'm totally fine if you never watch any of my videos again.
Is it possible that you took that out of context when someone just said, if I was your mom, I'd never talk to you again? That's just funny on their end. It doesn't sound like that's really serious and people really think that.
They did. That's what was shocking.
I think you're a little triggered there.
It was clearly a joke and people did not get that. And also it was I was trying to help her help herself, but you know what? It's like a fucking alcoholic or a drug addict. She doesn't want help, and when she does, it'll be on her and whatever. Anyways, I got Booker to join Clubhouse finally. That was fun.
Yeah.
He's been on there a bit exploring and joined me a couple of times. Yesterday, I was in a room with the entire Jersey Shore cast, very spontaneous and fun. And I even got some scoop out of it. So not only was it a good look for me on the app, but it was a good look for me for my job. I'll paraphrase briefly how I got the little bit of info that was good. I mentioned Ronnie, who was the only member of Jersey Shore not there.
Cool.
And then I said, you know, it's my job to be plugged in and know what's happening. I haven't really seen any negative headlines about Ronnie lately, or any headlines. And I am inferring that to be a positive thing. Can you comment on how he's doing or anything like that? And they just said, well, stay tuned for the upcoming season of the show. And that just bummed me out because that dude has a lot of unhealthy patterns and situations and issues that he's dealt with. Yeah. And I'll leave it vague like that because I don't want to get sued.
When it's your job to be the pain in the ass and then you put a camera in front of somebody, they go out and be a pain in the ass. It doesn't really help the situation. The situation.
But there's a difference.
Pun not intended.
You could be good reality TV and like compartmentalize and then like not be a big mess privately. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If I got paid to be a villain on a reality show and they were paying me enough, I'd fucking do it. And like, that's my job. And that's not, maybe, I mean, I would do it in my own way. I would still find ways to give great television without being a mess. I don't know. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Speaking of messes, Azalea Banks called me the F word. And you know how you never believe me that most gay men hate me? Well, most gay men said, yeah, she gets a pass. She can call Perez Hilton the F word. It's no big deal.
I'm in that clubhouse room with you, and the room is mostly gay. It's a lot of gay guys, and I'm sitting there listening to you yap with these guys. They're all gay men, and none of them hate you. So that's a narrative that you've created.
It's not a narrative. It's true.
Okay.
Anyways, so that happened. But I'm thankful for her because she got me some headlines, and she got me trending on Twitter as well. Oh, my
cool.
God. Last week, we spoke about Britney Spears and my past, and we didn't really get into the conservatorship. And I want to address that because my thoughts on the Britney conservatorship have changed, and they changed last week, and they are continuing to change and evolve. I live in California, as does Booker and does Britney Spears. The main reason that Britney lives in California is most likely because of her children and her shared custody with her ex-husband and the father, Kevin Federline. I'm assuming he's not okay with all of the back and forth if she were to move back to Louisiana or whatever it might be. In the state of California, it is incredibly difficult for somebody to be placed under a conservatorship. You need to prove that they are a danger to people.
Yeah.
What I say to Britney's fans is, I understand them. They want answers. But is it their place to know everything?
Fuck no. It's what I've been saying all along. It's none of their goddamn business. They don't know the details and the minutiae of her mental health. Or she put out a video about burning down her gym.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I'm not even going to assume that I know what happened. But I will assume that there's something going on out there. Okay?
Yeah.
Something. So it's none of my business, though. It just isn't. And all of these people butting their nose in because they've got the well-being of Britney in mind. Shut the fuck up. You don't know Britney. You don't know what the fuck she's going through. Nobody does except for her family and her close inner circle. A lot of it's really just painful to see so much speculation when people don't have a clue.
Well, not just so much. It's almost all speculation because people don't know. And this is the crazy part. Not crazy. I should stop using the word. This is the just like dumbfounding part, right? Certain fans and conspiracy theorists refuse to believe or accept Britney in her own words. When she in the past, and she has more than once, released videos on her Instagram saying that she's okay and asking her fans for space and respect, they don't believe her. They think she's being forced to say that.
And right.
I don't believe that. Like, listen, Britney may not like certain to most aspects of the conservatorship, but she still is not going to say anything that she does not want to say in a video. Nobody is forcing a gun to her head or threatening this or that or the other, I believe. Would the fans be happy if they learned, and I'm not saying this happened, but like it could explain things, if they learned that, you know, Britney threatened to take her own life and end the lives of her children back in the day? No. That would be awful if that were to come out. Would her fans be happy to know that maybe back in the day, Britney was doing drugs and left drugs out or pills and the kids took them and something really bad happened? My thought is, and it could explain one of the reasons why Britney has not fought so hard to be totally removed from the conservatorship, is she's doing this for her children. Her being under this makes it easier to have visitation with her kids. And I don't know, once again, it's speculation, but I think it all is in her mind, it's probably having to do with her kids. And once her children are 18 over plus, it might be done with. Because here's where I get into the bigger issue, right? The whole concept of conservatorships is weird because there are plenty of people with mental health issues that are not in a conservatorship. There are plenty of people with mental health issues that have the free will to take drugs if they want to. If a human being wants to, or let's not even make it as extreme. If a human being wants to drink alcohol, should they be able to? If a human being with severe mental health issues wants to drink alcohol, should they be able to? That's a big question. Then another question is, if a human being with severe mental health issues that has a lot of money wants to go to Vegas and gamble all their money away, should they be able to? With old people, they're not. For some reason, the law says, oh, if you have dementia or this or that or the other, we want to protect you from you.
That's mostly families wanting to protect that money so they get it in the end.
Right. Well, the same is happening now. So it just goes back to a lot of free will issues. Should Britney be, quote, protected from herself? Or should she have the free will to do whatever she wants, including drinking alcohol, taking drugs, blowing through all of her money? What are your thoughts on that?
I've already given my thoughts. It's none of my goddamn business.
But that's not a thought.
That is my thought. If you're so rich and your family wants to take care of you because they know you have problems and you've acquiesced to the fact that you have some problems and you guys get into a partnership together to protect what you've made, so be it. I don't think there's anything else here other than that. That's what I've always thought. That's what I always will think.
What do you guys think about this? The whole concept of the conservatorship. Call us 800-721-1185. In a surprising move, we have heard from Britney's boyfriend, Sam Asghari. They've been dating for several years now, and he released multiple statements. The first one was, you know, a normal statement. He spoke to People magazine and he said, I've always wanted nothing but the best for my better half and will continue to support her, following her dreams and creating the future she wants and deserves. I am thankful for all of the love and support she is receiving from her fans all over the world, and I am looking forward to a normal, amazing future together. That surprised me because I was pretty sure he's under an NDA, like a non-disclosure agreement. And The father still has a lot of control over Britney's life.
Well, let me back you up. Maybe that's a coordinated statement.
No, because then this guy, Sam, who's a personal trainer, took to his Instagram story and said something else about the whole situation, specifically singling out her father and attacking him. Sam said, now it's important for people to understand that I have zero respect for someone trying to control our relationship and constantly throwing obstacles in our way. In my opinion, Jamie is a total dick. So he just called her dad a total dick.
This guy's a douche. Because it's no one's business. No one gives a fuck about this guy. They care about Britney. And
well, he's her
using
boyfriend.
Britney. So what? He's still nobody. No one cares about him. And calling somebody that's in her family out, that's trying to protect her, is a dick move. You're just putting their laundry out. It's their laundry. I get it. You think you're part of it and everybody needs to know. Nobody needs to know anything. You shouldn't be online calling somebody that you're dating's family member a dick. I'm sorry. That's fucking common sense.
Well, I think you're in the minority here. And I'm not saying
you're right. I'm intelligent. Most people online are fucking stupid. Welcome to the internet, dude.
I'm not even saying I disagree.
Welcome to Britney fans. Stupid people.
Not even stupid people. Literally, I could send you the text message moments before we started recording. A friend of mine sent me a news article that I'm in because last night I sat down with Good Morning Britain to talk about framing Britney and Justin Timberlake and all of that. And I mentioned that I don't think, I forget my quote, but it's something like along the lines of like, you know, what I said last week, you know, I said last week on our podcast that people want somebody to blame and people are making Diane Sawyer out to be a villain. And I don't think she's a bad person. And I don't think she's a bad journalist. Did she not handle this one interview as well as she could have? Yes, everybody makes mistakes. And then my friend who works in television, he's the executive producer of Big Thing, said Diane should have apologized. And I said, well, maybe she has apologized to Britney privately. He said, it's not good enough. Diane Sawyer is a public figure. She needs to apologize publicly. So when it comes to Britney and everything that's going on, even smart, powerful people are expecting a lot of this to happen publicly, and they want things said publicly. So I do think you're in the minority here, even with smart people. My friend is a smart person.
I don't think it's anyone's business, and I'll just stick to that.
Yeah, that's your opinion.
Because this whole world is so, let's get in everybody else's business. No one's owed answers to any of this. Why do I need an answer to what's going on out there? Why? Just answer me that question. Any one of you Einsteins. I don't. It's not my business. There's clearly a family drama going on that we're acting like we're consumers of, that they're a business or they're not the Kardashians. They're not making money off this. There's not a reality show attached. This is the real life of a successful, talented person and her family that they've not purposefully not pushed out for us. They haven't let us inside of the doors of all of it and the blah, 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 blah. This is different than a Kardashian thing. This is completely different. And until it's not, until they say, hey, let's make a show about this or, you know, let's put it out there. Until then, not my business. Not your business either. That's what I say to everybody else, your smart friends included. Not your business.
Agreed. And I said that at the very beginning of our podcast. I said, do you really want to know all the details that maybe you shouldn't know? I think, and I'll just wrap this up, most people are concerned for her. Most people feel she's unhappy. It's all speculation. I get it.
Most people should like focus on the environment or something. It's like, really? This is your concern?
Not even that. But most people feel like she's being taken advantage of.
Oh, these people. Come on.
Or, you know, there was a report that Britney was punished by her father, put in like a timeout or detention for 3 weeks last year because she went out on a beach walk with a friend of hers. Many people close to Britney say that she's doesn't have a big circle. She's isolated by her father and blah, 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 blah. So it's sad and difficult. And everybody's just wishing her well. In the wake of all of this, Justin Timberlake released a statement. Let me read that to you. So if you haven't read it, and just to remind everybody what he said, Britney's ex-boyfriend said, I've seen the messages, tags, comments, and concerns, and I want to respond. I am deeply sorry for the times in my life where my actions contributed to the problem, where I spoke out of turn or did not speak up for what was right. I understand that I fell short in these moments and in many others and benefited from a system that condones misogyny and racism. I specifically want to apologize to Britney Spears and Janet Jackson, both individually, because I care for and respect these women, and I know I failed. I also feel compelled to respond in part because everyone involved deserves better, and most importantly, because this is a larger conversation that I wholeheartedly want to be a part of and grow from. The industry is flawed. It sets men, especially white men, up for success. It's designed this way. As a man in a privileged position, I have to be vocal about this. Because of my ignorance, I didn't recognize it for what it was while it was happening in my own life. But I do not want to ever benefit from others being pulled down again. I have not been perfect in navigating all of this throughout my career. I know this apology is a first step and doesn't absolve the past. I want to take accountability for my own missteps in all of this, as well as be a part part of a world that uplifts and supports. I care deeply about the well-being of the people I love and have loved. I can do better, and I will do better. I think there's no way he wrote this.
Why not?
Because it's almost too perfect.
What do you mean it's too perfect? You sit down, you think about it for some time, and you really craft an apology? He's not a dumb guy.
It was clearly written by a team of crisis PR experts. It's literally perfect,
well,
okay?
Maybe they signed off on it, but I don't know if they wrote it.
They wrote it. He signed off on it. He might have tweaked it, but somebody else...
Either way, he put his name at the bottom
exactly.
of it. Said,
exactly. Well, yeah. That's what I was going to say. I was like, it doesn't matter if a team of people wrote it. He might have written it, but it's beyond painfully obvious to me that like a full-on five-person team crafted and messaged and massaged this and made it note for note perfect. But he signed off on it, and to me that's amazing, because he could have said nothing. He could have gotten away with saying nothing, and he has for a long time. And people are like, no, not this time. It's too big. He would have been dragged. You know what? Bullshit. Justin Timberlake can never be canceled. And he will never be canceled. Even if he would have said nothing, think back on that episode of our podcast where we had all of those people call NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, and NSYNC won. And it's because of Justin Timberlake, and he has such a passionate fan base. And... like you said, Justin is not dumb. He could have said nothing, and then he would have realized, you know, I said nothing, I avoided this, and my reputation took a bit of a hit. You know what? I'm going to lift my reputation. And you know how I'm going to do it? I'm going to give people what they want. Now I'm going to agree to an NSYNC reunion, and we're going to go on this triumphant comeback tour, media blitz, and play stadiums.
Don't you think that was going to happen anyhow?
No. No?
You don't think so? I think there's so much money to be made that I think that was inevitable anyhow.
I don't, because it could have it should have happened already,
yeah.
And it hasn't. Him speaking up, I think, is a wonderful thing. I think it's a genuine thing. And even though he spoke up, so many people are like pissed at him still and sending shit his way. And like,
that's everyone's right. If they want to be, fine. If they feel personally offended by Justin Timberlake's actions, then that's their prerogative. It really is. I heard his apology, and I thought it seemed like you said, perfect. Seemed heartfelt. Seemed that he addressed the social issues that maybe plagued him in our society, and we could all do that. I think it's just a thing where you get older and you get wiser. I should apologize for millions of things that have come out of my mouth, and if I've offended anybody, I'm sorry. It's not hard to say I'm sorry. He said I'm sorry. And in the time that you're doing it, especially when you're famous and everyone's just blowing sunshine up your ass constantly like you're the greatest thing ever, you get lost in that. You can't see things for what they are. And I guess I have a little bit of sympathy towards that. I guess I understand that a little bit. So,
well, me too. You know,
good for him.
Because I really resonated with a lot of what he said. It's like, I could have written that, or my team of, I don't have a fucking team of crisis PR experts, but
me, let me see, me, Perez, your sister.
but I would have written it myself anyways. He also could have not mentioned Janet Jackson, but he did as well. And I heard a lot of people saying, not good enough, too late. And it's like, what specifically are you going to do? And I think that this is the first step. And I'd rather it be this than, oh, I'm going to launch this nonprofit, I'm going to start this and all that, which could just be performative. You know what the first step could be? Just getting into therapy and talking with a professional that could help him unpack everything in his past. Like we said, he signed off on this, even if he didn't write it. I saw a clip the last couple of days of Justin Timberlake and Kylie Minogue from an award show. 9 out of 10 times when people present at award shows, what they say is written for them. You know, if you're a comedian or just a writer, maybe you could write your own bit. But in this bit, he made a bad joke about, hey, can I touch your butt again? Because Kylie had performed with Justin, and during the performance, he grabbed her butt back in the early 2000s. Even if somebody wrote that for him, and even if Kylie Minogue approved the joke, he also approved it. And at the time, he thought it was right, and nothing, there was no flag in his brain that said, oh, that's kind of misogynist, that's kind of gross, right. That's not that funny.
Well, that's going back to what I said. I think that some people just feel that they're bulletproof, and they feel that they're so funny. And he's one, because yes. He just bugs me sometimes with his feigned humor. He just always thinks he's like a comedian or something. It's like, dude, you're not that funny.
No.
If you weren't famous, no one would even be laughing at anything you said. Goofy at times.
No, me too. That's what, like, I've said that repeatedly. I'm not a Timberlake fan because of his personality. And, oh God, I might get real backlash for this, but they do it in different ways. Justin Timberlake and Beyonce, they both think they're God's greatest gift to this planet. But smartly, over the last 5, 6, 7 years, Beyonce has just shut up and is not saying hardly anything. But also, I do miss seeing a bit of her personality and getting to know her as a person. But at least, you know, like, oh, she's not coming across obnoxious, because she barely says anything, you know? So
when was she obnoxious? I don't know if I've ever really thought she was obnoxious.
Just like
give me an example.
Oh my God, like she literally documents every day of her life, has her own personal photographer and videographer that's like constantly taking videos and photos of her. She has like a Beyonce museum in storage and like all this stuff. Like she thinks that everything she does and everything she creates is like God's gifts. Like she documents it all. And like, that's cool. Like you are Beyonce, but it's, I don't know. There's just something about that. I don't know.
That sounds like something personal to me, because I think a lot of celebrities keep their stuff and they're like, why not? You got enough money. They put their stuff in storage, and you know, is it a museum?
The level, is a museum. Like the level of everything, the level of documentation, the level of videoing and photographing and storing and everything. It's like,
but she just doesn't bug me though. She's
me too. That's what I'm saying. That's why I said they're similar, but how they do it is different, right?
Oh, okay.
Anyways, all right, enough Britney. There's still a lot more to get to. But before we get to everything, you know, our listeners keep blowing us up about Magic Spoon.
It is true.
And they were upset that Magic Spoon is not sponsoring us every week, because I keep having to give people their information. The Magic Spoon folks have given to us, even on weeks that they don't sponsor us, because they've loved Magic Spoon so much. It is the yummiest. If you compare it to any other cereal, this is so much better. It's got 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, plus only 140 calories a serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. It is delicious, though. That's the emphasis.
It is.
I've tried a lot of these types of cereals that just taste like chalk. Like chalk, but not Magic Spoon. Go to magicspoon.com/Perez to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code Perez at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. MagicSpoon.com/Perez and use the code Perez to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Need an escape? Drop into Pluto TV for a world of free TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android, iPhone, Roku, and Fire TV and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
All right, let's get into this whole The Bachelor drama. I usually save The Bachelor for the end of the show, but this story's blown up and it's super mainstream. And even people that don't watch The Bachelor are chiming in on it because it's a bigger issue. You know, it's the issue of representation. It's the issue of bias and racism.
Righting wrongs, correcting the past.
Yeah. So Chris Harrison is not a dinosaur. I think it's important to mention his age, okay? He's only in his 40s. He's 49 years old. I would think he would know better. He was being interviewed by the former bachelorette, Rachel Lindsay, who is a black woman. And she was the first ever black bachelorette. And was talking about a controversy where a contestant on the current season of the show in 2018 went to a sorority party at a plantation. And it was, quote, antebellum themed South. You know, like Gone with the Wind, that era. So when talking about that drama that erupted on the show, this is what Chris Harrison told Rachel Lindsay. I saw a picture of her at a sorority party 5 years ago, and that's it. Like, boom. I'm like, really? And then Lindsay said the picture was from 2018 at an Old South antebellum party. That's not a good look. And then Chris Harrison said, well, Rachel, is it a good look in 2018 or is it not a good look in 2021? Because there's a big difference. And then Rachel said, it's not a good look ever. If I went to that party, what would I represent at that party? Chris Harrison said, you're right. You're 100% right in 2021. That was not the case in 2018. And again, I'm not defending Rachel. I just know that, and they're both named Rachel, Rachel Lindsay and this other Rachel girl. I just know that I don't know 50 million people did that in 2018. That was a type of party that a lot of people went to. And again, I'm not defending it. I didn't go to it. I'm not the woke police. So he said that actually, he mentioned the woke police a few times. And afterwards, Rachel Lindsay, on her own podcast, also went on to say that after the fact, Chris Harrison reached out to her and apologized. But she also stated, during the conversation, he talked over me and at me. He never gave me room to talk. And he never gave me room to share my perspective. He wasn't trying to hear it. He was just trying to be heard. So, you know, shortly after the interview aired on Extra, it erupted into this controversy. He apologized almost immediately. And then a few days later, over the weekend, he apologized again and announced that he was stepping aside as host of The Bachelor. But only temporarily. Just meaning he's not going to host the After the Final Rose special.
Right.
That's it. The first question, I don't think he's going to get fired over this, do you?
No. Look, my girlfriend works for Extra, and I know how tight Chris and ABC are, the creator of the show.
Pause. The creator of the show who's had his own major scandal. Remember right. that? We've talked about. And with his wife who accused him of domestic violence. Okay. And he was not fired from the show as a result of that. So if they're not going to fire the executive producer and creator of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, who's been accused of domestic violence, then right. they better not fire Chris Harrison, I say, because yes, both are wrong. But if you're comparing being a dumb twat and excusing this dumb twat behavior versus somebody who's been accused of domestic violence, they're such different things. So, yeah, he totally was an idiot with how he spoke. Like, 2018
was 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's keep in mind, 2020 didn't even exist because nothing happened, okay? And the calendar just flipped to 2021.
Yeah.
So, essentially, we're talking a year ago in real time.
He was making it seem like this was the 80s or something. It wasn't. It was yesterday.
My girlfriend and Rachel, they talk all of the time, obviously. But I'm only going from what I watched on the video, and that's all I'll say.
All right, you're trying not to get your girlfriend fired. You're not.
I'm just saying, I don't have any insider knowledge. I'm about to give you my opinion.
Okay.
Watching the actual video of them conversing back and forth, he talked down to her. And I don't know if it was host talking to contestant. I just felt that he didn't like her. And I just felt that it was very uncomfortable. Forget about the subject matter. Just the interaction I didn't like. I didn't like the tennis that was going back and forth. I don't know what the story is. I don't know if maybe they didn't get along on the show. Maybe they did. I don't know. But his talking down, that made me feel uncomfortable.
I don't know either. I'm sure that by now the show's been on for forever, like over a decade.
Yeah, 10,000 years.
Yeah. So I'm sure at this point in its history, Chris Harrison isn't just the host. He's also a producer on it and making a lot more money.
And making a lot of decisions.
Yeah, exactly. So he feels very protective of this brand, right?
Right.
And
right,
when right. the brand is attacked, he feels like he's being attacked.
Right.
And some people don't handle being attacked very well. And I think it's a wonderful thing that Rachel Lindsay in the past has also spoken out about issues mm-hmm. regarding representation on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. So mm-hmm. maybe he never liked that. Like, oh, she should have just spoken to us privately. She shouldn't have made this public. We're family, you know, bullshit like that, you know.
Yeah. She's a smart cookie, though.
Yeah.
I don't think she's one to just say, okay, you just say whatever you want to say. She's a very intelligent person. So.
I wonder, though, like, what will happen? Because the Rachel, whatever, the chick that's still on this season, what if she got picked by Matt?
That is what a lot of people think, that she is the winner. And a lot of people are speculating that that's why he was paddling so hard against the current of this, because he knows what happens and it's her. So he's really trying to go back to your point, really protect the brand, which is a much larger question that we've all asked for years. This show in itself, as the years click on, we start to see how problematic the show is. You know, it's kind of why I watch it. I'm like, I can't believe it's on TV sometimes. The things that people say and the circumstances and,
the
you know,
sex.
25, 30 yeah. people, the sex vying for one person and swapping spit and all this other stuff. Like, to me, it's wild TV. The barely blurring of the nudity. I mean,
wait, nudity?
They're always naked. Somebody's naked on the show and they're like, the guys are in the shower. They're blurring them. It's pretty wild what's happening on the show. So I don't know. I'm just wondering if there's just an egg timer on everything like this being on broadcast television much longer. I'm looking to the next step.
That question that you just posed, I have the answer for. And it's the perfect segue to talk about Claudia Conway. Mm-hmm. We've spoken about the daughter of Kellyanne Conway on our podcast before because it's newsworthy. There's similarities to Britney Spears. You know, there's issues of concern and alleged mm-hmm. abuse. And while you may disagree, many to most of our listeners think that allegations of a serious nature should be amplified and should be talked about. So we've established this young girl who's only 16 years old has had a lot of turmoil with her parents that has been very public. And for some reason, or maybe just to support their daughter, they agreed to let her audition for American Idol. Here is where we go, right?
Willingly signing up for this makes you, I wouldn't say a target, but makes you fair game.
Well, she also willingly chose
to be speculated over.
She also willingly chose to be a social media influencer, but that's a different conversation.
And there's underage things involved here. That's the whole other weird wild card. This isn't someone that's 12.
Yeah. So let's just get to it. Did you watch her audition? Because I shared that on my socials last night.
I did not.
She actually is not a bad singer. Do I think, and she made it through to Hollywood.
She did?
Yeah. Do I think under normal circumstances, if she was not Kellyanne Conway and George Conway's daughter, would she have made it through to Hollywood? Absolutely not. Zero mm-hmm. chance. She only made it through to Hollywood because of the huge interest in her life.
And a headline for the show as well.
Exactly. So to piggyback off of the
right,
question.
Much like The Bachelor, that's long in the tooth.
Exactly. So to piggyback off of what you said that led us into this discussion, it's 2021. And American Idol is exploiting this girl who's been through so much for ratings. Should they?
It's a good point.
Should they?
That's a good point. I didn't think to look at it through that lens, but everything that we know and that has been said, I think you got a very valid point there.
Especially because there's no way, and like I said, she's not a bad singer, but she's still so young and could really benefit from voice lessons and needs.
Right.
She just would not make it through if she weren't the daughter of these people. There's no, right. I guarantee.
Well, that. The lines are so blurred because people want entertainment. This is a story. It's juicy. They're lining up to watch it. And yet people are bringing up the point that you just brought up. Like, hey, you're kind of exploiting this person that's already, I'll say, it seems like a bad situation from what I've seen. Seems like a bad situation. Yeah, and you know, my response has just been shut it all down and turn off all avenues to see this train wreck, because I don't think all of us seeing this train wreck is healthy for anyone in the party. So yeah, you got a very good point there.
I usually do. I mean, and
it is a good one.
It goes back to what I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast last week, but to circle back to our earlier conversation about Britney Spears, all these people who are claiming to be holier than thou, I just remind them, look at last year and look at you, Chris Booker. And I love you. And I say this with love. You are like a lot of other people, but maybe you're not as bad. Okay. I'm not throwing you under the bus here. Last year,
sounds like
Kanye West went through many very public episodes. And it's my job to be plugged in and see what people are saying and how they're saying it. I would say that many to most people on social media, when they were talking about Kanye last year and all of the bold, intense things that he was saying about his daughter and his mother-in-law and yada, 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 most mm-hmm. people were not leading with compassion. Most people were not empathetic towards Kanye. So I do think that media has gotten better, but has society as a whole improved all that much?
Well, going back to what I said earlier, when you're a willing participant to the circus and you are feeding the circus versus...
But Kanye is not a willing participant.
He married a Kardashian. You married a Kardashian. I'm sorry, you are. Okay, you've been on the show before. I will not accept that answer for this instance.
I don't know. I'm just putting that out there.
He's not Joe Public. He's not John Q. Citizen. He's not. You married a Kardashian. You're on a television show.
I just had to lay that out there. Okay.
All right.
Speaking of reality TV, I just had to mention this because I'm geeked out about this. And also to put it out into the universe that I need to be the host of the reunion. I'm so excited because, you know, I getting older is challenging. And, you know, like I'm having thoughts like, should I get Botox and those thoughts and, you know, whatever. But I embrace getting older. And it made me so happy to hear that MTV is bringing back The Real World with the mm-hmm. original cast from the very first Real World of like 29 years ago. The Real World New York.
How old are they? Like 55?
Yes, they're in their 50s. They're in their early 50s now. And huh. I'm so excited just to get to spend more time with these people, because when The Real World first aired, I was a teenager. And if you guys read my memoir, you'll know that I unhealthily watched so much television, and I watched all of the first few seasons of The Real World, and I love, and I know all their names.
We did this Clubhouse the other night. He rattled off everyone's names like they were family members. It was unbelievable. He's like Eric Nace and niece, whatever the fuck his name is. Niece, whatever. He's running through all of them. I just remember the girl, like the...
Which one?
Like the Midwest.
Julie.
Julie, yes, Julie. I remember her.
Anyways, so I'm excited about that. And MTV, hit me up. I'm the perfect person to host the reunion for that. All right? Okay.
Yeah, you are.
Speaking of reality TV, NeNe Leakes has been fired by her agent, her manager, and her lawyer.
Damn.
Because she, according to them, has just become really unbearable and impossible to work with.
Hey, quickly, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it could be hard work. And you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you've already got so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Taylor Swift a lot of news with her over the last few days. First, Booker thought her re-recording her masters was dumb. Well, she outsmarted you, mofo, because she announced that not only is she re-recording all of the songs on her Fearless album, but she's also going to record and release 6 new songs that she had previously never released, that she had written over a decade ago during that era. So it's like a brand new album from her as well, lumped into that re-release.
I'm looking forward to those 6 songs. The one that she released,
Love Story.
You would agree. It's not as good. I don't know what makes me wrong about any of this.
Well, I'm just saying she found a way to outsmart you by releasing 6
songs. How did she outsmart
me?
She said from the beginning she was going to re-record all of these albums.
No, but she never said that she was also going to include new material.
Okay, great. That's not outsmarting me. It's just she's putting out some songs that didn't make an album before.
Yeah.
So, and it's just new music to me. I'm all for it. And by the way, I'm all for her redoing all of these songs. If she wants to do it, great. But I'm not going to like start listening to these new ones instead of the old ones. That's silly.
And there's enough support. This new re-release of Fearless would be eligible for Grammy Awards. I saw an article by Billboard that said that. Yes, I don't think the new recording of Love Story is as good as the original. It's not bad. I like it, but it just lacks something special to me.
Yeah, youth.
Not just that, just something special. I don't know, like...
youth. Her actually singing in the moment of what she was going through. I don't think you could go in there, pitch perfect, do everything note to note. There is heart in lyrics, and that's part of what makes her so goddamn good. She captures what she's going through at the moment, and she has in all of those songs, especially Love Story. And I'm sorry, I do not think it's possible to recreate that. I just don't. That's why I would think this is all kind of silly. I'll listen to it.
Congratulations to Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. They've announced, confirmed that they are having another baby. Mazel. Shockingly, though, Meghan Markle won her legal battle against these British newspapers, which is just crazy to me. Like, she sued them for copyright and blah, 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 because her dad sold or maybe gave for free, but I doubt it. He probably got paid.
He sold him.
He sold a private letter that his daughter, Meghan Markle, sent to him. And that's just crazy. If the dad gave them the letter, they should be able to publish that, I think.
You think?
Yeah, absolutely.
But if your intent was for this to be to someone and that person only, you drop it in the mail, you put it in a mailbox.
Gave it to that person, and this person is choosing to say that. If somebody sent me a private letter that I then share on Instagram, you can't sue me for that.
I don't know, man. It's weird when you're celebrity involved in...
Is it shady of the father?
If someone, let's say Taylor Swift wrote you a letter, okay, then you put it up online. Hey, look, Taylor Swift wrote me a letter. You're not directly profiting from that. Now, you are because you're a famous person and it's good for business.
If Taylor Swift sent me a letter, I probably wouldn't reveal the letter, but I would maybe reveal the envelope and be like, oh my God, Taylor Swift sent me a letter. And, I would geek out
but
about
you didn't,
it.
You wouldn't divulge what the inside said, unless it's like a generic thing that she sends out to like promote a record or whatever. But if it's her giving you her personal feelings about Kanye West or that situation, and then you went and sold it, you took money for it. I don't know that
I would
is
not
it illegal?
Do that, but
it's just, it's shady. You're right.
Yes.
I don't know if it should be illegal either, but it's definitely shady.
Yeah.
It's shitty.
I would not do that, but her father clearly did. All right. I need to stand up for injustice. Like, this...
smells like a hypocritical moment coming our way, folks.
No, I'm very clear. And I think maybe this is one of the reasons why we might have some conservative listeners. Like, they may not agree with everything I say, but I don't demonize all... I don't even demonize conservatives. I just demonize, like, the hardcore Trumpers, you know, them. I don't like those.
You told those people to fuck off and stop listening.
Yeah, but there are a lot of really good conservatives and smart people, and there are a lot of good Republicans. I'm not one of those people that thinks all Republicans are bad. I've never said that.
Right.
And I don't even think this guy is a Republican. He's not, but he's being targeted, and I think unfairly. Robert Kennedy Jr. of the famous Kennedy family got permanently banned from Instagram because of his anti-vaccination stance. And specifically, he was sharing, quote, unquote, air quotes, information about the COVID vaccine and it goes against policy, blah, 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 blah. I think that's bullshit. All right, listen, there's facts, okay? And some people may not believe that facts are facts. Like, there are some people that think the earth is flat, and that's fine.
But here's the problem, and let me just poke one little hole in it. When you say that these, quote, vaccines are whatever, blah, 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 they can do this, blah, 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 there's a company behind that that's done research that says you're wrong. And now you've slandered them or you've defamed what they actually do. That's the problem. I don't think it's his opinion's the problem. I think when you say things about a company that are proven to be incorrect, that's where Instagram has a quandary and they say, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to pull this down. I see this a little different.
I think, like I've said, they should just slap a label on there like they do, like, you know, the information on this has been proven false, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you are a repeat offender of that, like, they don't want to sit around all day long policing your post fucking over and over because you're some lunatic out there spreading falsities with the name Kennedy. I think at some point it just makes it easier for them to say, hey, let's just unplug this fuck because you've given us a headache.
I think people should be able to say that. I think the only people that should be banned from social media are the ones that are sending death threats or racist things or homophobic things or being vile or inciting people to violence.
Right.
But if you're like, you know, if you're saying, I don't think Jesus is real or whatever, like, should you be banned from that? Like, it's just, I'm starting to like, not even, it's painfully obvious, this just troubling place we're at with the over-policing of speech, even if people don't believe facts. I believe people that don't believe facts should be able to say that. It's like, I just believe that.
Well,
I don't know.
You should be able to say it. You're right. You should be able to walk outside and talk to your
on
neighbor.
On social media.
But when you disseminate it on somebody else's platform that does not belong to you, they have the right to say, hey, we're not doing this. And I have zero problem with that.
Well,
zero.
I do.
Because I think there's too many dumb fucking people out there that take this information and they start passing it on to other dumb people. Then all of a sudden you got a bunch of dumb people walking around like, I ain't taking that vaccine. It's got, they're fucking tracing us. Like, where are they tracing you to go? Arby's, you fat fuck? Like, you're not going anywhere. That's what happens. So I understand these companies saying, hey, we're complicit in this. So I have no problem with it. I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one.
What do our listeners say? 800-721-1185. Super briefly, no, Armie Hammer is not being investigated for murder.
I didn't know that was on the table.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Okay.
There's a rumor going around that he's being investigated for murder. He's not. Also, Bruce Springsteen, idiot. We just found out he got arrested for driving while intoxicated. In the age of Lyft and Uber, no excuse for that. Oh God, we didn't even get a chance to talk about this. Very briefly, there was a big controversy with Kim Kardashian and her daughter North and people not believing that her daughter painted this thing. And the daughter allegedly spent 2 weeks on the painting with a teacher. My son learned how to draw this one snowman by looking at some video, and he did it so well, it blew my mind. And my son is the same exact age as Kim's daughter. If kids watch something and they're taught how to do something step by step, I think they absolutely can do something really cool like that.
We know at least a half of that family. I mean, we know dad is crazy talented. He's an artist. So does it shock me that the kid's an artist too? No.
There you go. If we have time for any calls, let's take some.
Sure.
Hi, my name is Emma. I'm from Los Angeles, California. I just wanted to make a comment as quickly as I possibly can about the Eugenia Cooney situation that you guys mentioned. I know it seems like people are just trying to get her banned or kicked off of YouTube simply because she has an eating disorder, but that's actually not why. Eugenia's been a part of the YouTube community for years now. She is the sweetest person ever. She maintains a positive outlook on everything and anything. However, she has been promoting eating disorders for a very long time now. She has a big following of young girls who look up to her and also idolize her eating disorder. This is not something where people are just trying to get her kicked off the platform simply because she is unwell. It's because we are tired of seeing her promote a disease that she truly needs help for. She created a video with Shane Dawson about a couple years ago where they pretended that she went away and got help and that she was in recovery, when in fact she was not in recovery. She was still doing the same thing she had been before. And that's not to say that she's bad, or that's not to criticize her. You know, that has to be on her own to get help, but she doesn't need to be online where young girls are looking up to her.
And she cut off.
Well, I'll disagree. You know, in her mind, she's promoting it by not getting healthier. Well, unfortunately, it goes back to what I said at the beginning of our podcast this week. If a person chooses to not be healthy, that's their choice.
Mm-hmm. But then again, promoting it on somebody else's platform.
But they're not. She's not promoting. She's not saying, oh, you shouldn't eat. She's just existing.
Okay, but you could see, if you owned the platform, you could see how this could be construed as dicey. And how you could be complicit.
So would my argument. Like, they're discriminating against this woman because she looks super thin. What if then she provides receipts? Oh, I've actually been in counseling and I go once a week and I am getting help. And shame on you for not believing me or forcing me to tell you what I'm doing privately. It goes back to what you said. Do we need to know everything? What if she is currently receiving treatment and all of these things? And it goes back to what you said too, I think.
Look, I can see it many different ways because, well, I don't know who this person is to start off. I can see both sides of it. Part of it's entertainment, the other part of it's business, where it's a platform and they're trying to make a buck too. And you got your hands up in the air like, well, when I thought of this platform, I didn't think that this was going to happen. It's almost like somebody that created a bomb, you know, that creates some sort of technology, and they're all of a sudden somebody buys their technology and they find out that that technology is behind making a bomb, which has happened. And you feel complicit and you're like, well, that wasn't my intention. Well, you're the person that thought of it. So it's the chicken and the egg. It's just back and forth. We're in murky waters. And that's, I think, a big problem in our country. And we're trying to figure out how to navigate through this internet entertainment and with our very marred past as a country. I think we're trying to navigate through all this.
And it goes back to what I said last week. Should somebody who weighs 400 pounds also be banned from YouTube?
I hear your argument's valid.
If you're going to ban somebody who is underweight for promoting unhealthy behavior on YouTube, then you need to also ban people who are extremely overweight. It's as simple as that. And then now you're banning people for how they look. That's really also what it is.
You know, I also think that there's a part of this when you are a willing participant. Now, you know, I don't know if that means you're a sane, willing participant. That's where it gets a little crazy. When you're talking about Brittany, who doesn't want to be a participant, seemingly doesn't want to participate in this circus that's going on around her, pun intended, it's different somehow than someone that makes a video themselves and posts it online themselves. It's almost like you're saying, I am okay with hearing your opinion about what I'm about to put up. Then you got young people that are way too young to be having these conversations that haven't thought their life out. It's all murky.
It is, but I'm not a fan of banning people for how they look or banning people because they're unhealthy. If they're not explicitly telling people, you should do this too. Let me show you how to do it. My life is so much better because of this, blah, blah, blah. I don't believe that Eugenia Cooney is doing that.
Yeah, I don't follow her. I could barely give an opinion on it. Listen, I heard the caller and I heard what you just said, and I think the answer's probably somewhere in the middle.
All right.
Hey, Perez. Hey, Booker. This is Brittany from New York. I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan, and I know you guys are too. So I'm wondering, what re-recorded album are you guys looking forward to hearing most? And what song are you looking forward to most?
None of them.
All of them.
The unreleased ones. That's the ones I'm looking forward to hearing.
I'm glad that we got this question, because I go back to what I originally said when we first talked about this a long time ago. Now that I know she's going to be releasing unreleased songs, I wish that each album was like a three-part thing. One is the original Faithful re-recordings. Then I wish that was like the same songs, but like reinterpretations, reworkings. I'd love to hear that. And then a third part would be unreleased songs that she wrote during that era. I would love that. Because like, it's so faithful. It's like, I don't really need to listen to it then.
I find a lot of it to be a waste of time just for the reason of, what's the first of the two albums she just put out? What was the first one called?
Folklore.
Folklore. Thank you. I just think the idea behind Folklore, three different people's story of the same thing that happened, is
genius. And I hope she wins every Grammy that's ever fucking presented to her for it, because it's fucking genius. Three different people's perspective on a breakup and what happened. If it's happened before, maybe it has, I don't know, or it's maybe happened by an artist I didn't care about so much. But that, to me, that's what I want her wasting time on. Okay. Because that is brilliant. I don't need to fucking hear Tug McGraw again, or Tim McGraw, whatever McGraw it is. I don't care. I don't want to hear that. Big deal. You've done it. I don't care. I want to hear what else is in that mind of hers, because that album, yeah, whatever. That album is fucking brilliant. I think it's the coolest thing. And I know you poo-pooed all over and you like the production and blah, blah, blah. I thought it was fucking brilliant. That's what I want her spending her time on. Not this, the old beef and owning this. I don't care. I just don't care. I want to hear what I haven't heard before. But if she can give us all of it, great. Whatever. Want to do one more call?
Sure.
Got time?
Hey, it's Claire from LA. I was just calling to see if you guys had seen the new Britney Spears documentary.
Oh, yeah. Actually, did you watch it yet? That's a better question, because I know you've been doing press on it.
No, did you?
No. My girlfriend watched it, and I keep meaning to sit down to kind of catch what it's all about. But here's the thing. I feel kind of hypocritical if I watch it, because I feel like, oh, I'm being a big nib-nose now. This isn't really my business.
That's a great point.
This is someone's perspective.
That is a great point. Everybody is profit. Like the New York Times, right, and that and whatever network aired it, they're not donating all that money to charity.
No.
You know, it's for profit. It's for ratings.
It's the weirdest thing too. To that point, I saw a tweet the other day from the New York Times, which is, I guess, is just indicative of the world and business, and you need eyeballs and people have to see things, and that's why they're doing this. But to me, the New York Times has always been a beacon, a higher standard, you know, the people's paper, whatever the fuck. It's always been a level up. And to see a tweet promoting a show about Britney Spears from fucking the New York Times, I was like, oh, damn, Trump just had a point. Ah, point Trump, because that's how I felt. So back to what I was just saying, I'm kind of having a hard time saying I'm going to go and watch this.
Yeah, I lived it, not like Britney did, but, you know, I was a part of it. And yeah. I still remember that. I don't need or want to watch it. Mm-hmm. Like, why?
I was just going to say, should I apologize for sharing my experience with Britney that day? Which I have on the show. Should I say, I'm sorry that I told everyone about it? We made a television show together and I found her to be kind of out there and disconnected and kind of unplugged. And we've talked about this before. I mean, I was, I guess, a reporter. I was a VJ. I mean, I was doing the special with her. Should I say I'm sorry for talking about that? Because I was never trying to be mean or rude. I was just trying to
remind people what happened.
I interviewed her for that show, First Listen, and you guys can look
what
it up.
Year
it's
was
online.
This?
What year was the Red Leather whatever deal out?
Red Leather.
Which album was
Oops,
it?
Oops, I Did It Again.
Oops, I Did It Again.
Yeah, that was a long ass time ago. Oops, I Did It Again came out in 2000.
Yeah, I started at MTV in 99. I'd say it was either 2000 or 2001. So
the album came out in May of 2000.
Okay, wow. So that would have been May of 2000 when I did it. So that's 20 years ago. Jeez, 21 years ago. So God damn, I can't believe that's 21 years ago. You know, I spent the whole day with her and it was strange because I couldn't make a connection with her. And I get that it's awkward and everybody wants a piece of you and everybody, you know, once this time, but she was very unplugged and she was disconnected from our conversation. And I found it to be very odd, I guess, and her to be a little bit odd, but I've never thought, I would never judge her for it because fuck, I wouldn't want to sit down and talk with me either. I mean, she's probably right, you know, but I was thinking about it. I'm like, is it wrong that I have any opinion? I mean, I wouldn't say it's not a glowing review of her, me saying that. And I'm speaking into a microphone on a show and we're talking about her. And could that be a headline? I mean, am I part of the problem?
No, I think if you're sharing what happened,
I guess that's my question. I'm trying to be more sensitive about anything and everything anymore.
It also goes back to, you know, like even the conversation about Evan Rachel Wood, just because you may have had a past with Britney doesn't mean you can't talk about it. You know what I mean?
I don't anymore. I understand. And what you just said makes perfect sense. But unless it's flattering. And I now know with some perspective that there's some things going on with her mentally. Me saying something that she was unplugged from our conversation. Am I a shit for saying that?
No, I think that's fine.
Okay. You're saying no. I'm saying that there might be somebody that says, yes, you are being a shit. You're sharing something that wasn't on camera, well, but it is my experience too.
Exactly. I think that's fine. And I also want to state for anybody who keeps commenting, I am the one who chooses the stories that we talk about. Chris Booker has no say in it. Mm-hmm. And there have been more developments in the Marilyn Manson awfulness over the last week. But like, I don't want to get into that on the, it's so heavy and it's so awful. And it's like, what can we say on this podcast in an entertaining or inform? I don't know. Like, there's been more awfulness with Manson, according to other women. And I don't know. So I don't really want to dive into that. I don't know. All right. Well, we've covered a lot of ground and this has been a long ass show. So
long ass show.
You're welcome, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Share our link, PerezPodcast.com, and we will see you guys next week.
Awesome. See you guys.
If you love a good scary story, make sure to check out Sus, Share Your Scare, with Brennan and Jake Taylor.
Was it as crazy as the movies make it?
There's rumors about the Conjuring House that there's bodies in the basement right now as we speak.
And they're like, if you guys don't come out right now, we're going to send in the dogs.
But we went and like hid in the closet.
And the next thing I remember, you are holding me in the ocean and I see our jet skis floating away.
Get new episodes of Sus, Share Your Scare, every Wednesday on Podcast One, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.